gifts. My twin was born 40 minutes and healthy before I was issued, underdeveloped and undersized. Catherine Jean left the hospital with our mother while I was docked into what passed for intensive care in the Litchfield, Illinois Memorial Hospital of 1947. There, I contracted pneumonia. This inauspicious beginning was buoyed and sustained upon a sea of antibiotics. With 200 doses of recently available penicillin, I left the hospital about 3 months later. I didn't cheat death, of course. That's still coming. But I had gifts. After a lifetime of plenty, or plenty enough, I'm now gratified not to receive a gift on many gift-giving occasions, unless it's a handmade card, a gift of food, or some dear soul picking up a dinner bill or a bar tab. Thank you. What I'll never have enough of are of time and new experiences. You know, those keen emotional moments with more to fathom in depth over time and less to thrill. Can I get a good day or a clear and moonless night so that I might fall asleep out under the stars, speeding through space with my imagination making a mockery of light's speed? My search for a good day was rewarded last spring as a troop of four-year-olds dressed in colorful rain boots and jackets followed their teacher out the front door of the Gingerbread House, a daycare center across the street. With eight long strides out and three down, the teacher turned and waited for them to meet her at the bottom of the steps. Then, with another 12 strides, she crossed a shallow puddle and reached the sidewalk adjacent to the main village street. Two children, immediately at her heels, stepped around the hazard, and three following in a block, hop, hop, hopping by the puddle's edge, but four were already lost. With faces raised, mouths open, and tongues seeking the rain, their guide had to call them forward again. The water hazard presented a small puzzle to those dallying four, save for two boys in red and yellow who stomped bravely, arms up through its depths, while the twins in robin's egg blue held hands and squished across the green lawn. Assembled once more, she tugged on some caps and pulled up a zipper or two across against the light sprinkle, and turning, marched forward to the corner with her charges prancing in a line behind her. They clustered again at the intersection while she led a choreography of looking left and then right and then left again. While they waited for an auto to pass, one girl in a rose color stepped up onto the yellow painted curb and, peering down as if over a cliff, pointed and squatted as others gathered near. Worms! Worms! Dead from the storm or perhaps still wriggling, but isolated in the gutter. Worms! Look at them! The teacher, calling their attention from the distraction, asked them to arrange themselves in two, and a little dance of an allemande left and right acquitted a quite neat column of pairs arranged behind their leader, who proceeded alone halfway across the crosswalk. Then, as they all looked right and left one more time, she called the children to cross. They scampered and gambled within the white crossing lines, save one, the untethered girl in rose, who pushed the boundaries of traffic and needed shepherding through the passage. By then, the first crossers had run down the walk and knelt to inspect more closely a new swarm of worms, alive and squirming, but blind to the monsters who were assembled around them. While they pushed and swayed, the knot of children felt and prodded the poor creatures. These Jacks and Jills stumbled to their knees and then arose as one to run further down the block, leaping over other worms they passed. In 10 years, they would be young women and men doing algebra, playing musical instruments, and approaching their athletic potentials, yet never more the masters of their realms than these explorers. Oh, I've had gifts. And I'm going to reprise something I read 5 years ago because it's timely and it needs to be said again. Not many years ago, the New Yorker magazine interviewed an antique gentleman about his life on Broadway. The fact that the man was a stagehand or an actor or an artist didn't impress me. What did impress me was his answer to the question, "What has been the biggest change in Broadway in your career?" He said, "Electric lighting." He was living in my age, and he said, "Electric lighting." It got me to thinking about my grandmother, Mimi, born in 1886 into an educated family in Marinette, Wisconsin. She was a progressive Republican and lived until 1960. She told us of the societal ills in her lifetime and how she knew that they had been improved for my childhood. She grew up in a time of grossly adulterated foods and looked favorably on meat and milk regulations and on ingredient labeling. Now we worry again of having too few inspectors and of salmonella from slaughterhouses and agribusiness. From the time of shallow backyard wells, unsanitary waste systems, typhus outbreaks, and the labor of hand pumps, Mimi had a love for clean tap water, marveling at a full glass she held up before the window. Now we're despoiling our precious aquifers. The apparent solution is to buy bottled water and pretend that clean sources will always be available. Mimi married a small town physician in the 1900s. She and Dr. Bennett were devotees of Louis Pasteur and Joseph Lister. Pasteur, Lister, the names hang in the ether, and they seem to harken back to a scientific antiquity like Newton or Priestley. In fact, they lived until 1895 and 1912. 1912 is 35 years closer to my birth of 1947 than it is to 2020. Wash your hands. We heard that a lot, and it really meant trust in science. Hand washing in her era was still a modern innovation. And given all the restroom and hospital signage we see today, it remains innovative. Despite all scientific advances, it remains the single most effective means of inhibiting the spread of disease, so timely as a pandemic arises in 2020. Wash your hands. In disgust, she'd say, "That fellow just expectorated. Watch where you step." Then, eyes down, we'd tiptoe around trying to avoid carrying infection back to our home. We've forgotten that tuberculosis was once an epidemic disease in this nation, when people lived in fear of consumption and bloody spittle. No spitting signs became ubiquitous, and outraged public shame drove spitting underground. Mimi abhorred coarse behavior, lessons unlearned and abandoned in our age. Mimi was born in a time that lived in fear of early childhood death. It was a part of her family. As a result, she was sort of a helicopter parent to my mother. Trust in science. She approved of our immunizations from childhood disease as vaccines became available. Today, as much as ever, we need memories of people like Mimi and of that aged Broadway denizen to remind us just how close we live to the dark.